Our second speaker, student speaker, is Veronica Garcia.
Good evening, everyone. First and foremost, I would like to thank the Latino-Latina Studies Department for your commitment to uplifting and helping students succeed. I can only imagine how many students have been fortunate enough to be a part of this incredible department, and I'm deeply humbled to be here speaking to our friends, family, community, and the class of 2014. Today we are graduating for our families, our communities, our ancestors, and for future generations. Oftentimes we are taught that success means making $100,000 and moving away from the community that you were raised, that raised you, especially if you come from a low-income community like I do. However, this has not been my upbringing. It has been quite the opposite. I have been raised by parents who sacrificed everything, leaving their homeland and family, working 2 to 3 jobs to make ends meet, and suffering from severe illnesses as a result, so that my sister and I could have a better life. Since my mother dropped out of college and my father only completed the 6th grade, I've watched them work 10 times as hard as others. Witnessing the sacrifices my parents made for us instilled in me a strong work ethic and powerful commitment to service to my family and my community. This, I'm sure, is something that most, if not all of us in this room, can relate to. It is impossible for me to talk about my achievements without talking about my family. My success is their success, and their success is mine. Similarly, my sense of achievement is inextricably tied to the achievements of the communities with which I align myself, the Latino, Latina community, working class, families of color in San Francisco. My sense of personal success, it wasn't always the case, however, that my sense of purpose was connected so strongly with these communities and movements. My transformation from a disengaged bystander to a social change leader actually began as a student in a classroom. Professor Jeff Duncan Andrade teaches a course at San Francisco State University on educational equity with an emphasis on race, class, and schooling within the United States. The course was firmly rooted in an ideological focus on agency for marginalized communities, using higher education as a means to promote transformation. For the first time, I saw my story and the story of my family and my community reflected in the issues we were learning about. I learned about the systemic roots of inequity, and I began to understand that we are not to blame for all our struggles, that poor people are not the cause of poverty, and that I didn't struggle academically because I was stupid, but rather because I hadn't had access to the same high-quality education and support as some other students. Professor Duncan Andrade and his class was one of the most profound experiences I have ever had in any education institute because as a working class Chicana and as a teen mom, my schools and the larger society seemed to expect me to fail. Yet he, on the other hand, expected and demanded greatness of me. He also helped me see and understand that my struggle is my strength. It confirmed for me the power and transformation that can take place within spaces that were created to reproduce structures and inequities within our society. These 3 life lessons, understanding my struggles in a context of larger historical forces, learning about social change movements led by everyday people just like me, and acknowledging my own leadership potential, together served to transform my sense of purpose and illuminate my life's path. During my time at SFSU, I have had the opportunity to help found the first La Raza organization at Aptus Middle School. In the process of choosing a name for this organization, some questions were posed to students. Have you ever heard of the word Chicano? Do you know what Chicano means? Out of the 16 students in the room, not one of them knew what Chicano meant, and most of them had never even heard of the word Chicano. This broke my heart. Children are growing up without knowledge of their history, culture, and identity. This is particularly relevant because while much progress has been made, there are forces all over the country trying to set us back, insisting that ethnic studies are not part of the core curricula and not essential components of a comprehensive K-12 or university education. In fact, SFSU has the only college of ethnic studies in the nation. This is a travesty. If my experience has taught me anything, it is that it is absolutely essential that students are learning about issues that reflect their experiences and about histories that reflect their families and ancestors and about culture that reflects their communities. For students to achieve, they must be engaged. And how can they be engaged if they can't relate to what they are learning? If we are truly committed to preparing young people for success in the 21st century, especially given that we are no longer a majority white state, how can we justify that almost all of what students are learning about reflects white American and European history and culture? It is also essential that our schools have more Latino and Latinas and teachers of color, and I commend and encourage all of you who are considering teaching as a path. We need more teachers that can truly empathize with the experiences and struggles of low-income students of color because they've lived these experiences. Students need to see themselves reflected in their teachers so they can imagine themselves as educators and in other respected leadership positions in the community. We've all heard the cliche, but it's worth repeating. You can't know where you are going if you don't know where you have been. If we don't know about our history, we don't know about ourselves. As Latinas and Latinos, if we don't know about the Zapatistas, the 1960s Chicano movement, or the Sanctuary movement, then we don't know what we are capable of, how powerful and beautiful we are as people, and how much we are capable of when united by a shared vision for a better world. And of course, it is important for people to know their history, not only to be inspired and learn from what was accomplished, but also to be conscious of injustices committed and to avoid repeating history. We must not whitewash or sugarcoat the history of this country in our classrooms. We must shine a spotlight on the institutions of slavery and immigrant exploitation, among other injustices, that are a central part of our country's origin and ongoing story. We must uplift the women, men, and children, the real people and real families upon whose blood, sweat, and tears this country was founded to be built. Coming from a low-income background, where most of us are first-generation college students, we know how important it is to pursue higher education, and we know the profound feeling for wanting to graduate from poverty. As we move forward, wherever our lives may take us, it is our duty to interrupt systems of inequity. We must continue to gain knowledge and leverage resources for underserved and disenfranchised communities. And we must go back into our community to help uplift our families, friends, young people, and community. We must also remember that we stand on the shoulders of our predecessors, of those who have come before us. And we must pay homage to them as well as our families and parents. In closing, I would like to say thank you again to the Latino-Latina Studies Department for their dedication to helping students, including me, to succeed, and to everyone who has helped and supported me on my journey, especially my daughters, parents, Phil Klasky, and Paul Mendez. While it has been a long challenge and journey to be a full-time student, working part-time, and a single mother raising two daughters, it has been a blessing to have the opportunity to be a student of San Francisco State University. I would also like to say to my fellow graduates, our friends, family, and community, that receiving our degree should be a motivation to achieve a sort of call to action. We have so much that we intend to achieve for our family, our community, and ourselves. Let us continue to gain more skills, knowledge, and resources to help a world where all people are valued, supported, and have genuine opportunities to grow and thrive. Thank you. Who we love and adore and who has been one of the most incredible professors I know myself and other students have had. Every year we choose one student to represent the graduating class and honor them with our departmental honor. We can only choose one, and it's based on their academic achievement and, most importantly, their community service. The way that they have enacted the field of Latino studies in their lives. And this year, we honor Brenda Montaño.
is such an honor. When they told me that I was nominated for this and that I had won, I was just mostly really excited to be able to share the stage with not only all my professors, but these two amazing women here. So que viva la mujer! I don't remember the day I decided I would go to college right after high school. I was well aware that attending a university isn't common in the community I come from, and that my decision to move 400 miles from everything and everyone I knew is out of the ordinary. I did it for the adventure, and because I knew that disrupting the typical order of society is the only catalyst for change. Little did I know that 2008 was the worst possible time to attend a university. The economy supposedly failed, and thousands of families were left without homes. Students, semester after semester, had to reach deeper into their and the government's pockets to afford double-digit percent increases in tuition. Today, things are not that much better. Since 1987, it's been calculated that higher ed expenses in this country have gone up 450%, while personal income has only gone up 87%. Our own tuition at SF State rose over 70% in 5 years. We, class of 2014, have accomplished the highest student debt ever recorded in history. I knew and know that this was and is not right. As a student organizer, first with Occupy SFSU and always with Mecha de San Pancho, I tried to uncover the reasons behind these heinous acts and what needed to be done to stop it. We tried many things, but it didn't stop. I questioned the apathy of the other 20,000 plus students. How could you not care? But as my mind developed with the continuation of time, I learned that fighting for justice is as diverse as the human species. And I thank the RASA department, my professors, classmates, community partnerships for blessing me with this humbling knowledge. As my comadres have spoken on, the lessons learned while at SF State on sociopolitical inequity are plentiful. But I think one of the most important lessons was said by my hermana Veronica in our community organizing class with Guri. She said, "I'm decolonizing myself." Decolonization is deconstructing systems of thought and the manner in which they frame our Chicana, Latina, blank, hyphen, American, Hispanic, Indigena, Mestiza story and identity. Decolonization is understanding that knowledge is power, not confined but equally distributed and occurring both in and out the academic realm. It is breaking away from consumerism and individualism and remembering our relationship with the earth, our spirit, and time, not as a linear process, but as a never-ending cycle. What imprints are you making on the earth as you continue to walk along the path you are currently on? Brothers and sisters, this moment is not simply an exit from an institution. It is an act of ceremony. We each began this journey in various places of the world at different points of time. We each have had to battle against the many forces that exist, which aim to disarm us of our weapons of creative rebellion. Our presence here together is proof that we are not a defeated people. We are not a broken people, but we are a responsible people. Responsible for the well-being of this earth and for ensuring that places of knowledge remain and become more accessible para la raza and all generations that will follow. We must carry this responsibility like the gift that it is, and not as a heavy burden on our shoulders. Look at your hands and see in them all they are capable of. See how they shape the future as educators and artists, organizers, doctors, scientists, lawyers, and politicians. Your mind, too, is brilliant. Your ideas are of absolute necessity, but do not hoard them. Not only will they overwhelm you, but trapped inside your head, their growth will be stunted, like a sprouted seed in a pot too small for its grandeur. In order for you to grow in relationship to your ideas, you must plant yourself in the earth, alongside your community, your roots, and watch as the fruits of your collective labor are born into reality. As I wrote this piece, I closed my eyes and I saw 100 faces. I saw your smiles, tears, and frowns. I heard your songs, critiques, and laughter. I saw you, compas and homegirls, in my classes, in organizing spaces, at parties, and on the Muni. I saw you, profesoras y professors, inviting me to discover a different part of myself. I saw you, my roots, my best friends from elementary, my first primas to leave our family nest. I see you and I thank you. Congratulations, everyone.
Standing up and standing in for those people who cannot be here tonight with their family members because of deportation.